two ministers in Israel's government have threatened to quit and collapse the coalition if Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu agrees to the Gaza ceasefire proposal, which was unveiled by the US President Joe Biden on Friday. The Biden plan proposed a full ceasefire with the withdrawal of Israeli forces and a hostage exchange, along with the return of all hostages and a major reconstruction plan for Gaza. Hamas responded positively to the proposal, but Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that there will be no permanent ceasefire in Gaza until Hamas's military and governing capabilities are destroyed and all hostages released. Let's get some analysis now. Elham Fakhro is Associate Fellow at Chatham House Middle East and North Africa Programme and also the author of a new book on the Abraham Accords and is on the line now. Good afternoon and thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
And this three-stage plan, which was unveiled by President Biden on Friday, it hasn't found favour with Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel and with some of the ministers in his government. Does this make the plan now unviable?
It doesn't make it unviable yet. I think we're to wait and see what happens exactly. But I think it's worth noting that this plan is really, we've seen it before. It's a reiteration of previous plans that have been unveiled in kind of these months and months of have been led by the United States, Egypt and Qatar on the one hand, and trying to bring Israel and Hamas into a deal. The very crux of these talks has been this exact premise, the exchange of hostages for a
Okay, I think we're going to take a short break and see if we can get Elham Fakhro back on the on a better line. Hello, Elham Fakhro, can you hear me?
Hi there.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yes, our line broke down, and you were explaining that you don't think, notwithstanding the cool reception to President Biden's peace plan in Israel, you still don't think it's unviable?
I mean, I think it's worth putting this in context. There have been months of negotiations now led by the U.S. involving Egypt and Qatar to reach an agreement. And that's been the basis. What we're seeing with the Biden plan is the same kind of bottom line that's being reiterated. It's the release of hostages from Hamas in exchange for a permanent ceasefire from Israel. And across these many months, Hamas has viewed this positively. It's expressed its willingness to move forward. And the real stumbling block has been from the Israeli side. Now, hopefully, with additional pressure from President Biden, which is what we're seeing now, there may be traction from the Israeli side. But fundamentally, what they are saying is that unless Hamas is completely destroyed, there is no other alternative for Israel.
In his speech on Friday, President Biden said that Hamas is no longer capable of carrying out a major terrorist attack on Israel. Is he right? I mean, does he have a firm basis for that claim? Because it seems that certainly in Israel, senior figures aren't buying that.
I think there's no doubt that after 8 months of a massive military campaign, Hamas's capabilities have been severely downgraded. I would believe that assessment to be correct, yes.
What's your analysis then of what is going on internally in Israel? I mean, do we have a situation here where we have two political leaders, President Biden and Prime Minister Netanyahu, who are both under pressure domestically, but to ease the pressure on themselves, that they actually need different outcomes from what's happening in Gaza. Biden needs an end to the war and Netanyahu perhaps needs it to continue.
I would agree with that, absolutely. Netanyahu has been massively unpopular within Israel for a very long time. His only real hope of clinging to power now is to continue this war and to portray himself as really the leader that's needed to keep Israel safe and secure. There's a Israel, I mean, including from Lapid and within the Israeli Knesset, there is massive opposition. And there are those leaders within Israel who have backed this plan and back an end to the war. But it is Netanyahu and his coalition partners specifically who really have been the major obstacle to it.
What needs to happen now if this plan is to be advanced?
What needs to happen in the first stages is a ceasefire. What we saw in December and the early months of the conflict was this kind of model of shorter term ceasefires of 5 days or 6 days with the release of a few hostages at the time. There was hope at the time that this could be built on and expanded into a longer term ceasefire. So I think that's the hope here, that at least we would see a preliminary agreement on a more short term basis that could grow and develop into a long-term end to the war.
And as you mentioned, Hamas has responded favorably to President Biden's roadmap. But how is the plan then being received more widely in the Arab world?
It's viewed positively. I mean, many Arab countries have outwardly supported this. Some have been involved in back-channel conversations. Yesterday, Qatar and Egypt and the United States came out with a joint statement saying, as mediators, they jointly call on Hamas and Israel to finalize the agreements and move ahead with it. All the other actors, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Jordan, stand behind this plan. So it is getting almost unanimous support from Arab leaders.
Elham Fakhroo, thank you for talking to us today. It's Elham Fakhroo, Associate Fellow at Chatham House Middle East and North Africa Programme.